Washington, D.C. Acknowledge me.
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk. We are off and running, and hopefully entertaining you over the next 3 hours on a Throwdown Thursday in the nation's capital and beyond. I could do my Chris Mad Dog Russo. He was just doing it right behind you, Linnell.
Really?
Yeah. Have you heard that intro?
No, I have not.
Oh, okay.
I'm a big Mad Dog guy, though, because you all share the same likeness.
Right,
I'm a
right.
big fan of you, so right. I got to be a big fan of his.
There's one likeness we don't share, bank accounts.
Yeah.
I can trust you on.
But you ain't hey, man, that's what you're not going to do. There's a lot of the people. And make it seem like you're not doing well. The rooster is well off. You want to talk about the most decked out chicken coop you'll ever see?
Yeah, yeah. If you look at my my button down shirt, which is about 13 years old, and's got a stain or two on it.
It's a nice shirt
because I couldn't find another shirt. On this Throwdown Thursday, we are hoping. Just want to be careful phrase it in a certain way because all of these situations are fluid. We are hoping to be joined by Alameda Zacchaeus
OZ
after practice today. We don't have just for and we're going to preview the Wizards schedule
all
season
I can't wait.
In the 2 o'clock hour, which begins in earnest tonight against the world champion Boston Celtics. Also, something we didn't get to last week that Maddie reminded me of. The Linnell Willingham six. What do you call it?
We didn't get six pack. We got my six pack.
I don't think we did
week.
It last
well,
week.
Well, I did it on overtime.
Well, yeah,
that.
You did it on overtime.
The committee.
That's not on this time.
I'll tell you what. The committee has been hard at work. It was a very insightful. Week number seven. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The committee's been burning midnight oil since week one, so we lose track of the weeks.
I just want to know, does the committee have faith in the Washington Commanders this week?
I will tell you this. The committee, a specific member of the committee, I won't say who, made a very convincing case for the Commanders to make their debut in the top six.
Their debut. They've been in our top six on our on this show on Friday.
I don't know how.
When we do the dual super six packs for 2 weeks.
Well, that's because you're
kind of sleeping at the wheel.
You talk about surgically attached pom-poms. You're trying to appease the masses. You're trying to appease our legacy audience on this legacy station.
Yeah, that's
the Team 980. Because you know damn well the Commanders are not one of the top six teams in the NFL.
That's what I do.
That's what you call needle-moving radio, people. It moves it.
All right. Speaking of the Commanders, unless I missed it, and I don't believe I did because I listened to the entire Cliff Kingsbury press conference, we don't have an update, unless I missed it, that I haven't seen from somebody else on Jaden Daniels and whether or not he's practicing today. Have you seen anything?
No,
I have not seen anything. I have not heard anything. And like I said, I listened to the entire Cliff Kingsbury press conference, or what I was led to believe was the entire Cliff Kingsbury press conference, and it was not addressed. I don't know how. So I'm skeptical as to whether I heard the whole entire thing or just a very, very, very long 10-plus minute clip. But either way, I don't think Cliff Kingsbury, in his position, and he is very, very guarded and very cautious of overstepping his boundaries, even though he's kicking ass and taking names, and he's the hottest potential, head coaching candidate name in the NFL, and he might only be here 1 year. I think he is very, 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 very cautious and guarded to overstep his boundaries. And we don't hear from Dan Quinn on Thursday. The coordinators speak. The head coach does not speak until Friday. So, I'm waiting for a practice report from anybody out there because I believe they're just on the field now. So we will get it for you as quickly as we can. But the bottom line is this. Cliff Kingsbury addressed the reporters, addressed the media, and essentially said, yeah, there's going to be some tweaks. And we should know this, right? There's going to be some tweaks because every quarterback is comfortable with different things.
Yeah, for sure.
And more comfortable with different things. And the other thing that we learned is, maybe not learned, but that was reemphasized was Cliff and his staff, the staff, makes up an extra game sheet for the backup quarterback. Why? Well, because what happened last week, while he got injured on the first play of the game, Jaden, even though he didn't come out until after eight other plays were run, he could have been injured. He was injured on the very first play of the game. So if you don't have a plan, we already know reps are very, very, very limited for the backup quarterback. And sometimes they run a little scout. Sometimes, usually it'll be the third quarterback. But reps are very, very limited for the backup quarterback. If you don't have a game plan or a sheet or something that he's familiar with, or I shouldn't say familiar, comfortable with, then you're going to be in trouble. And he pointed out, I forget the exact amount of days, but Cliff said, you know, basically it had been like 70-some-odd days in between Marcus Mariota taking a first-team rep and last Sunday when he came in for that second series of the game against Carolina. And that was because of the injury.
All the way back to second week of training camp. Yeah. I think it's how far you got to go back.
Well, yeah, it was a couple of days before the Jets preseason game.
Because Jaden was announced the starter for that game, correct?
Yeah.
But still wasn't announced the regular season starter until right before New England.
Correct.
Just make sure our timeline's correct.
Yeah, because Mariota was still healthy when Jaden was announced as the starter for the Jets game. I think it was the next day on a slide that Mariota got hurt. Right in front of us, I think, or right in front of me. I remember it pretty clearly. So the bottom line is while we still don't have any clarity, Linnell, I mean, all signs point to, and at least the way I feel, Marcus Mariota. I think what we learned from Cliff, and maybe you have a different feeling, what we learned from Cliff is, sure, the scheme is the same, the terminology is the same, but every quarterback is going to prefer, like, want,
different
and feel
things.
Comfortable with different things.
And I'd say this, too, and this is not a shot at Marcus. I know that's what you all want to paint me out to be, some shock jock Marcus Mariota hater. But in reality, like, Cliff has talked about it extensively. They have been able to expand the offensive menu, so to speak, because of Jaden Daniels' work that he's putting in prior to actually being on the practice field. As far as I'm concerned, Marcus Mariota's got a toddler at home and isn't able to put in the same amount of work, I feel like, as Jaden Daniels.
Well, we don't know that for sure.
Do you think he's getting to the facility at 4 a.m.?
I mean, I can't say that he is. I can't say
it
that he is.
We haven't
heard that he is.
It hadn't been reported. It's not to take a shot at Marcus. It's just to kind of expound upon what you said. Yes, the play calling, the scheme, rather, is going to be the same. But there may be nuances, right, that Washington can't get into because of Marcus's lack of comfortability. Not saying it's a knock, but that's just the reality of the situation. It didn't matter to me, though, this week who was the starter. I was going to have a hard time, as I continue to say, picking Washington against Chicago. It was going to feel like something almost that was disingenuous. Because I believe it in my heart of heart. This is the tough part about what we do. I'm not an industry plant like Chris Russell, so I really wear this on my sleeve. Mm-hmm. I bleed burgundy and gold, right? I'm a fan first.
Yeah, we hear the fan first in you all the time.
Well, I'm going to be real, right? I'm a fan first. Yeah. So the fan in me thinks that this group...
You know what fan is short for, right?
Fantasy?
No, fanatic. You know what fanatic essentially translates out to be, right?
I don't do the semantics with
lunatic.
You.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
The only lunatic
you.
Is the mad scientist behind the glass. That's the only certified, clinically proven lunatic on the program.
Okay.
But I was going to have a hard time picking Washington this week against Chicago because Chicago in their defensive front, to me, one, is going to give us trouble. And I think it is going to test the patience of Cliff Kingsbury when it comes to running the football. And then two, offensively, what they have. See, and I kind of touched on it yesterday if you were paying attention through all of our screaming and yelling. Chicago has turned things around offensively. Granted, against two of the worst teams in football defensively. I believe it's what was Jacksonville and Carolina, right? The one thing, and if you go back even further to that Rams win they had, if you go back and look at these box scores, I think the ascension of Caleb Williams is greatly exaggerated. What I think the difference is right now for Chicago over the past month is they've got DeAndre Swift going. They've got Roschon Johnson going. You got to have balance in the National Football League, especially when you are a team that is working with a young quarterback. And I think Shane Waldron, as we've documented throughout the first month plus, Shane Waldron set Caleb Williams up to fail to start this season based on the play calling. I think there's been a dramatic shift in his attempts. And as a result, the run game has gotten more successful. So I worry that Chicago is going to come in here, minus John Allen, maybe minus Dorrance Armstrong again, and punch us in the mouth.
Or instead of blaming everything on the coaches, which is the easiest thing to do and the lowest common denominator, we can acknowledge
that they... By the way, Jaden Daniels not on the field.
Okay.
So
who's reporting that?
That's Nikki Javon.
Okay, so that just came across. So that's not a surprise, I guess. And listen, while I don't want to rule anything out, and certainly they won't, if you're not practicing on Wednesday and Thursday as the quarterback...
It's hard.
It is not impossible... Because I've seen veteran quarterbacks, but as a rookie,
he's not your typical rookie.
I understand that,
though.
But as a rookie, it is, you know, Tom Brady could probably get away with it in as his career evolved. Maybe Peyton Manning as well. Aaron Rodgers. There have been times where guys have not practiced Wednesday and Thursday, practiced Friday, and then played in a game on Saturday on Sunday and played well.
For sure.
That's why I want to be very careful here to not overstate what we don't know, which is right now what we know is he ain't practicing Wednesday and Thursday.
Well, hold on. That's another part of this, too. And I don't know what the schedule was like, so maybe I'm talking out of the side of my neck. He may be getting there earlier down to the facility to get treatment. He is someone, and we had Luke on here, and he spoke extensively about how much they're doing walkthroughs.
Yes.
I'd have to think.
Fair.
I'd have to think if they're doing walkthroughs that are closed to the public.
That's fair.
That he is out there. I would have to believe
what
that.
What we don't know is if he's even throwing the football around during these walkthroughs.
As he's alluded to, well, is about the mental rest.
Listen, the virtual reality
thing. It's
real.
That's where it comes in handy.
A very real thing, and this is exactly because it allows him, as Cliff has said, as Jaden has said, to hear the play calls, to see the system, to see the coverages, what have you. It's just a... The question still becomes is not that he needs the physical reps, but can he do what he needs to do as a thrower first, as a throwing quarterback, never mind as a runner and a play extender, as a throwing quarterback in order to be as relatively pain-free as you can, but more importantly, mechanically in tune need to be on the run, in the pocket, on the field with heat-seeking missiles all over the place. So that is the breaking news that we were waiting on to see, okay, Jaden Daniels is not practicing. Again, want to be careful. It does not mean he is definitely not going to play on Sunday because he's missed Wednesday and Thursday. I would just say at this point, I'd be very surprised if he plays. I think that's fair. I don't want to spend a lot of time on Jaden Daniels besides the news because we did a lot yesterday and a lot on Marcus Mariota yesterday. But would you agree with me that it's fair to think whether he's 110%, 102.5%, 99.5%, whatever it is percent.
I think part of this...
That not practicing on Wednesday and Thursday is a pretty good indicator that we're heading...
I don't believe so because of the nature of the injury. Having him go through practice is an opportunity for him to have a setback. Having him throw the football, I think the plan probably is treatment round the clock, get your virtual studies in, and then when Saturday rolls around, because they're going to have a walkthrough Saturday, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll have a better idea then because I think they're going to let him let it rip and see if he can do it. You want to give him as much time to heal and rest as possible,
right,
which is what we keep talking about with this injury.
That's fair. I mean, maybe I'm jumping the gun here. I'm just trying to read through what we have.
That's just my thought. I could be wrong as hell, but
I don't think that's crazy.
You know, I just think you don't need, for this type of injury, I think the practice timeline doesn't really make a whole lot of difference.
Well, here's the thing that I would say. If he was, quote unquote, pain free or not in any level of discomfort, you would think that he, at the very minimum in individuals, maybe not in team drills, that they would be allowing him to throw.
Right.
You would think. No guarantees. All right. So that's the news. We'll continue to update as best we can and as much as we can. But We have a whole nother show planned out for you. Again, we got a bunch of different things coming up, trade deadline stuff. Lemonade Zacchaeus is expected to join us. All the usual, you know, again, Nell Super Six Pack, and whether the Commanders are going to make it in somehow for the very first time. But one thing I wanted to start the show off with, this is something that you brought, you know, to the table, so I'll throw it out and I'll let you chomp on it, and then we'll take a break and reset. The Washington Commanders, right now through 7 weeks of the NFL season, are on defense, according to NFL GSIS, which is the league's official statistical service, 16th dead middle in total yards per game allowed.
Can you read these slow to me? Because yep. I want to write these down
sure.
as we speak.
Well, I can only go so slow.
Right.
16th, 329.1 yards per game allowed. 26th. In yards per play allowed, 5.80, which obviously is high.
25th in yards per play.
26th in yards per play.
26th in yards per play.
Mm-hmm. 5.80. 18th in rushing yards per game allowed, 131.6. So slightly worse than half, you know, middle of the pack. 27th in rushing yards per play allowed at 4.93. So already you see a huge difference, right?
And
way lower in terms of the league rankings in total yards per play and total rushing yards per play.
Sure.
And that, of course, feeds into each other, right?
Sure.
Now, moving on. 197.6 passing yards per game. Under 200, which is 12th in the NFL. But
wonder why that is.
Once again, we see a problem that was very evident last year as well. Without maybe some of the communication issues, some, and certainly with better pieces and better fit and better coaching, still having an issue because they're 7.24 yards per passing yards per play allowed, which again is at the very bottom of the league or near the bottom of the league at 26th overall. Okay, so again, you see a three-stat trend here where they are very, very low or high, depending on how you look at it, in yards allowed per play through the air, on the ground, and total yards overall. In sacks per pass attempt, when people say, and we spent a lot of time on it last week, and certainly last week helped, they have no pass rush. Well, actually, the numbers would tell us something different. 9.95%, which is sixth in the NFL. They're allowing just shy of 20 first downs per game, which is 18th in the NFL. On third down, and I'm just trying to go through this as quickly as I can, they're allowing 44% on third down in terms of conversions, which is 23rd in the NFL. In red zone, they're allowing 71.43% of the time they are allowing touchdowns to be converted, which is 29th
horrible.
In the NFL.
Meaning if you get in the red zone right. versus Washington, you can count it as six.
And even worse, goal to go, not more than slightly worse, even worse, at 80% goal to go at 22nd overall in the NFL. Points per game, 21.7 points per game. Now, I would point out to you that the league average in points per game, this is a 32-team per game average, the league average is 22.4.
Washington's right under.
So they are right under,
Chris,
despite all of those concerning ranks.
And I know we want to give the numbers, and I know you all don't want to just hear us read numbers all show, but like I think – the bottom line is this. There's two different ways you can look at this. And I was having this conversation last night with my guy, Scrap. I go, man, we're only seven games in, right? So I know a lot of you out there, math is not your strong suit, but stick with me here. We're only seven games in. So if you're a team like Washington, right, mm-hmm. that goes out in two consecutive weeks in a row, or two out of 3 weeks in a give up, less than 20 points against piss poor offense. Let's just call it what it is. Your numbers are skewed.
Mm-hmm.
Your numbers are drastically skewed. So I think, and this is what's tough about the NFL, is the sample. I make the argument that the sample size, in my opinion, is not big enough to have the stats play a major piece in how we view the team. Because clearly there can be an outlier performance that skews these numbers. You give up 7 points against Carolina. Mm-hmm. That is going to drastically change your point per game allowed.
Absolutely.
It's going to put a big dent in it.
That's a great point.
So
that's a great point. Kudos to you. I have a counterpoint to that I'm going to give you guys next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Stay with us. All right, along with Linnell Willingham, who is the youngest in charge, the leader of the youngest in charge movement, we told you via Nikki Javala first that Jaden Daniels was not at practice, was not on the practice field. We have now a further update, Linnell, that you saw during the break, yes?
Yeah,
before we get back into the defensive conversation.
This frustrates me because I don't know. It goes back to our conversation yesterday. Who they choose to tell stuff is interesting to me. So ESPN's Adam Schefter quote tweets John Kime's tweet of today, no quarterbacks, no Jaden Daniels. Kime tweeted that 13 minutes ago, Schefter quote tweets it and says, Washington plans to attempt to try to practice Jaden Daniels on Friday.
Okay.
How does he know that? No clue.
Well, why are you, and I'm not trying
angry.
To pick on you, why
not,
are you, why are you skeptical of that? Why are you bothered by that?
When not,
you,
I'm not skeptical.
When
I'm
you
not
were
bothered.
Not bothered at all in any way, shape, or form by any of the reporting
I'm
surrounding Jaden Daniels' rib.
I'm not bothered by it. I just think it's ironic, interesting, whatever I words you want to use. Like,
well,
I just think it's interesting.
Yeah,
that
that's an interesting subplot,
like,
I think, for media
to, my point,
to figure out.
It goes to my point that I've continued to say all along. Since the Harris Group has come here, they have gone whispered silent on the local beat reporters. They don't give them info first. The national guys get
honestly,
scooped.
I do not think it is really any different than it always has been. Because I know when I was on the beat, okay? When I was on the beat.
Well, I tell you, Nikki Javala, she was getting scoops from Ron Rivera, and she reported on behalf of the Post.
When I was on the beat... It was a little bit different, but it was not significantly different in that, and I'm just going to toot my own horn here, Grant Paulson and I were kicking everybody's ass, okay?
Yes.
And that includes, no offense, the holier-than-thou Washington Post and Ian Rappaport, who wasn't even doing full-time national work at that point.
Your competition was Ed Werder and...
Actually, Jason Lockenfour, I think, was the NFL Network insider.
Yeah,
Ed Werder, certainly Schefter.
Jason Lockenfour.
And Schefter broke his share of stories. I'm not trying to... You know, and Mike Jones of the Post and, you know, this one and that one. But Grant Paulson and I, two radio guys, were absolutely kicking everyone's ass. Just first and foremost, I want to say that.
Yeah.
Not me, not just me, Grant Paulson
the
and I.
Team.
Even though
yes.
I've never even really heard of Grant Paulson. Even though I've never really heard that name. But we were kicking ass, and so we have seen a gradual shift over the last 10 years.
I think new
I would
media
say.
Has kind of changed it,
yeah,
too.
But I think the team gets some internal pressure, but also I think the big national guys get a lot of their information, not just from teams,
agents,
but from the agents like Drew Rosenhaus, who simply will not answer anybody's phone call or return anybody's text or email unless you're Adam Schefter, Mike Florio, Ian Rappaport, Mike Garafolo. He just won't do it. Okay, because I've had that personal experience many times over. And that's just one agent. There's many other agents. So keep in mind that it's not always the team leaking that information. Some of the time it is, certainly. I don't think there's anything nefarious or anything really weird or different here or whatever. But the point of the matter is, if Schefter's reporting is true, okay, which I certainly I have no problem believing, if Schefter's report is true, that they are going to apparently try and practice him on Friday. Now, again, we do not know what that means in terms of limited, full, just out. We have no idea what that means. But when he says, when he tags Times tweet, like you said, about no Jaden Daniels, today's quarterbacks, no Jaden Daniels. And I would guess, by the way, that Kime knew this as well. He said Washington plans to attempt to try and practice Jaden Daniels on Friday. That's the plan. They're going to attempt to see how he goes through it. Now, Dan Quinn is going to speak for the last time on the week before practice, not after practice. So this is key, where Dan Quinn will not have to answer any questions from the local media that's assembled at Commandland in Ashburn until after Sunday's game, when we already know, did he play, did he not play, did they rule him out, did they not rule him out, was he a game-time decision, was he deactivated, whatever. So Dan Quinn might confirm, hey, guys, we're going to try. We're going to see how he responds. We might not know until somebody leaks it to, again, Rappaport,
it's
Fowler,
Schefter.
It's not even
about leaking it, though, man. That's open. The locker room's open on Friday after practice, is it not?
It is.
You're not
going to
walk in and ask, hey, Alamide, how did Jaden practice today?
Well, you can.
I do it.
Right, but he's not a doctor. He's not a coach.
I'm just asking, how do you
He's
look?
Not a spokesman.
You look good out
there. Sure.
Because we don't even know what type of
capacity. Do you think
Alamide
Zaccheaus is busy running routes and going,
You get what I'm saying, though. It's a way to find the information.
Sure,
out.
You might get a little inkling. You might get a little like nugget, but you're not going to get it from Dan Quinn. You're not going to get it from Dan Quinn. You're going to get it, to your point, and this is the frustrating point, you're going to get it from Ian Rappaport at midnight on Saturday night, or Schefter, because they all set their tweets. See, set their tweets.
No, it's like 3 a.m.
Whatever time it is, I don't know. I wake up overnight Saturday night into Sunday morning to pee my brains out because I drink too much diet soda, and I see all the updates, and they ain't just sitting there in the lab at 2 in the morning.
They do it. They schedule it for that
exactly. time. That's my point. So that's when we're probably going to find out where Jaden Daniels is at and whether there's any clarity or not. Now, you might get they're going to walk it right up to game time. We know that that's not true either, because the inactives have to be in by for a 4:25 game, 3:05 on Sunday afternoon. So we will know by 3:00 at the latest whether Jaden Daniels is playing on Sunday. Anyway, we just wanted to deliver the news and what is being reported. Tomorrow seems like a make or break type day. We probably won't find out tomorrow evening, maybe Saturday, maybe they'll rule him out. But remember, with it being a home game, they don't even have to travel. So sometimes you get, hey, such and such didn't make the trip, so you know they're inactive for Sunday. In this particular case, you're not even going to get that. So I would venture a guess we might not even find out until overnight, Saturday night, Sunday morning, via either Schefter or Rappaport, maybe both at the same time, as to what the plan is what they hope to do.
I think they're going to rule them out on Friday when the injury report comes out.
Maybe. So. It's possible. I doubt it. You could be right. I can't tell you you're crazy. All right, so let's do the trending alert, and then we will get back into the defense, because I've got the point that I wanted to make to counter your point about the Commanders' defensive statistics being positively inflated based on their opponent and who they've played in 2 out of the last 3 weeks, and really in 3 out of the last 4 weeks. If we're being honest, let's do the trending alert, and then we'll come on back for that on the Team 980. All right, tonight is opening night, finally, for the Washington Wizards as they kick off the 2024-2025 season, and it's yours right here on the Team 980. First, Craig Hoffman broadcasting live from Capital One Arena at 4:00 right here on the Team 980. Then, the pregame coverage with Dave Johnson and company at 6:45, tip just after 7, against the defending world champion Boston Celtics, who are already 1-0 after wiping the Knicks up with on the floor on Tuesday night in Boston. The Celts come in as 14-point favorites to play the Washington Wizards. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Last night, they opened up the Intuit Dome for the Los Angeles Clippers. Kevin Durant with all sorts of issues with the wall, as they're calling it. Not the John Wall, the wall. And ultimately, the Phoenix Suns, along with Bradley Beal and KD, prevailing in overtime to ruin the debut of the Intuit Dome in Inglewood, California. The Caps with another big win last night. That's five in a row. They have a well-deserved day off today, and we'll get back at it tomorrow for practice. And one other note, the World Series underway tomorrow night in Chavez Ravine, 8:06 first pitch. It's the Los Angeles Dodgers, and it's the New York Yankees. Dodgers going off as favorites at -125. And that's what's trending. Got a little Luke Bryan for you. Saw him in concert in the middle of June over at Jiffy Lube Live with my boy. Had a great time. It was 100 degrees that day. That was not fun, but it was it's a good show. Good show. And that's his favorite. So anything that I can to make my man happy, we try and do. All right. Linnell Willingham is here. So here's what I wanted you, before we got sidetracked with the newest Jaden, and in case you're just joining us, Jaden Daniels is not practicing, but now multiple reports, because Garofalo has said the same thing of NFL Network, they're going to attempt to practice him tomorrow, see how it goes, what have you. So that is the latest, and that's where we're at, which is a good sign if they are already planning on attempting to practice him. It is not a definitive sign, but it is a good sign that truly it is not as problematic. Which they have said that as well. They've called it week to week, but nothing long term, nothing. I don't know if they use the word serious or whatever. The bottom line is we'll see what happens tomorrow. Now, I wanted to ask you this. We went through some of the defensive rankings.
Wait. You're about to ask me something non-Jaden Daniels related?
Yeah.
Thank God.
I'm going to try.
Thank God.
We went through the defensive rankings and the defensive statistics, right? And I pointed a bunch of them out. And
the metrics.
And clearly, clearly they don't shine the light very brightly.
No.
On the Commanders in a lot of different categories, most notably yards per game allowed, rushing yards per game per play allowed. Yards per play allowed, which is yards per, you know, yards per play allowed, then passing yards per play allowed and rushing yards per play allowed are all in very much ballooned, right? But overall, there are some good rankings, i.e., you know, yards per game, they're middle of the pack. Rushing yards per game, they're a little bit elevated. Passing yards per game, they're pretty damn good. They're top one-third of the league and sub 200 passing yards per game. Sacks are high. There's all sorts of different good things. And you, Linnell,
Chris,
hang on a second. Let me set this up and then I'll let you finish. You said that you felt that the numbers were positively inflated, meaning better than reality because of the level of opponent that they've played. And most recently, they've played a terrible Carolina team, a terrible Cleveland team, a terrible Arizona. Well, terrible might be a stretch, but
Arizona's god-awful, Chris. I mean, come on, call it what it is. Arizona stinks.
You know, I don't think I don't think they're as bad as you think they are, but whatever. That's
what's
a matter
record?
Of semantics.
What's their record say
they played
are?
One good game in the last 4 weeks, right? Or one
record,
good team.
What's their record say that they
hang
are,
on a second.
That's my thing.
The Ravens are the only high-quality opponent that the Commanders have faced in the last month. So overall, your assertion is the reason why the Commanders' numbers aren't awful across the board is because of the level of opponent that they've played. Is that fair?
No. So
how's that?
I wasn't even trying to be funny. Not that their numbers would be awful across the board. They just wouldn't be as good as they are.
Well, they're only good in certain areas.
GSIS has them as the middle of the pack. Has them as an average defense in the NFL, basically, right? Is that what you would take that as?
That's just yards per game.
That number was recently just completely skewed. They didn't even give up 190 yards against Carolina.
I understand that.
They gave up a buck. That may be the lowest yards allowed in the NFL in a game this year.
It might be. I haven't checked that. It might be. I understand.
So those numbers are easily skewed.
Okay.
I look at it, when you get to go against Carolina in Cleveland in 2 out of 3 weeks, and if I take it a step further, Arizona, Cleveland, and Carolina in 3 out of 4 weeks.
Which is what I said.
Bet your ass your defensive numbers should look good.
Okay, fine. Fair point. Here's my counterpoint. Why is that a fair point? Why is that something that is first and foremost on your mind and not, hey, man, they started off the year against a juggernaut offense in Tampa. They played a very good offense week 3 on the road in Cincinnati. They played a terrific
33 points.
They played up a terrific off. Right. But my point being is against the really good offenses, they've given up plenty of points and plenty of yards. They've won a couple of they've won one of those 3 games. My point being is, aren't the numbers inflated because they played some bad teams and inflated because they played some juggernaut offensive teams? That's my point. Meaning, the truth is probably somewhere in the middle, right? If you consider, if you're working with me, right, and instead of just shutting me down here, if you say they played 3 juggernaut or what I would consider juggernaut offenses, Tampa, before they lost Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, obviously different story now.
That's fair.
Tampa, Cincinnati, and Baltimore, all 3 on the road. Yeah. Those are 3 juggernaut, what we would commonly describe as really good juggernaut type offenses, right? So if you're going to work with me on that, I'll acquiesce to you. They played some terrible, awful teams and offenses to balance that out, such as Arizona on the road. The Giants, certainly you can make that argument that they're not a good offense. I don't think they're as awful as others, but
the 31st in points per game.
Okay.
That's god awful.
All right, but they didn't have Malik Nabers for the last couple of games before last week, and Devin Singletary. And now they've lost their starting left tackle for the last 2 weeks. So, I mean,
River. The numbers are what the numbers are.
I refuse to live in mommy's basement.
Injuries are a part of the game. You don't get some. You don't get some asterisks next to your yard per game average because you don't have Malik Nabers.
When Baker Mayfield goes out and throws for 210 yards a game for the next 5 weeks, and Mike Evans is out until week 11, and Chris Godwin is out for the rest of the year, there should be no context. It should be, hey, Baker Mayfield back to being Baker Mayfield. Boy, does he suck.
It's not about.
That's reality.
That's you speaking in 110%
hyperbole. So it doesn't matter that the Giants haven't had Malik Nabers, Devin Singletary, or Andrew Thomas the last 2 weeks.
Chris, people are missing guys all across the league. What are you talking about?
Oh, well, so we should never acknowledge.
I don't put asterisks next to a team's name.
That's you.
Because they have an injury.
So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers over the next 5 weeks, right?
Matt, is the NFL supposed to stop playing once guys get hurt?
Nobody stops playing. That's the point.
You are what your numbers say you are, Chris.
But for Mr. Context, read your context clues. I heard over and over and over and over and over again. Right. Read your context clues.
Chris.
Matt, let me ask you this. Is there any context to the fact that the Buccaneers are not going to have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin for the next
obviously,
5 weeks?
Obviously, Chris, that's going to impact their offensive numbers. Fine. What are we supposed to stop playing?
Saying you're supposed to stop playing. I'm asking you to acknowledge that that's why the Giants suck.
I almost said for whatever reason. I know the damn reason. You are an industry plant cyborg. You, for whatever reason, are going to go to bat for the New York Giants. Listen to his ass. The Giants average 14 points per damn contest.
I'm going to bat for what's to come for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Wait a second. Do you think the New Orleans Saints haven't been affected by losing Derek Carr, Shakir, whatever his name is, and Chris Olave?
Their offense was good the first 2 weeks against bad football teams. They're not a good offense.
Okay. Okay, so that's it. They're not a good offense. They just
feasted on injuries.
They just feasted.
When did the injuries happen?
Within the last couple of weeks. They
started 2-0. They've lost 6 straight, Chris.
Right. I understand that. They've lost 5.
5 straight.
Right. I understand that.
They're not good.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah, Chris. So let me ask you this.
Well, then if that's how you're going to think, great point, Linnell. How in the world do you say Shane Waldron was terrible? The Bears were awful. They were hideous. They were nothing when they took on two explosive, dominant defenses in weeks one and two.
Chris, because the play calling was god awful.
Okay.
That's context.
Right. So the play calling is everything to you, right? Just admit it. You have called Kevin Stefanski,
Matt,
a two-time coach of the year,
because
he didn't run inside zone trap fly sweeps.
Chris, like, get your head out of your ass.
No,
you know damn
I'm asking you for context.
Yes, Chicago's offense has drastically improved over the last 3 weeks. Not because of the play calling changes. They're running the football, Chris. Go look at DeAndre Swift's numbers.
So teams can just run the football and they automatically have success, right?
They made a decision to provide more balance and a better structure for their young damn quarterback. Why don't you get that?
Or they're not playing two awesome defenses. How about that?
What?
They made a decision. Oh my God.
That we're going to run
Please
the football.
Help me.
Come on.
Please,
Chris,
help me.
You're better than that.
No. Please help me. You can't sit here and be honest and tell me that the only reason the Chicago Bears have gotten better on offense is because Shane Waldron woke up at 3 in the morning with his little nightcap on and had an epiphany.
Chris, is he not calling better games?
And had an epiphany and said,
you love numbers. You love numbers. I'll read you numbers on the Chicago Bears.
I should just run the ball. Yeah, that's what I wasn't doing in weeks one and two. Had nothing to do with the defenses that we were playing against.
Chris,
then tell me that the New Orleans Saints were only good in the first 2 weeks because they were playing terrible defenses.
DeAndre Swift got 9 carries in week one, a game in which they won by a touchdown.
Okay.
Right.
Everything was wrong that day against
Chris,
a superior defense.
What I'm trying to say is as the season has progressed, Shane Waldron has said,
Understood.
Hey, how can I help my young quarterback out?
Yes.
What is the number one way?
As the season has
running
progressed, they're not taking Tennessee and Houston in back-to-back weeks as well. Why can't you acknowledge that obvious fact?
Good God.
Why can't you acknowledge that they've gotten healthier? Why? Why is it only
Chicago's
one thing?
Chicago's gotten healthy?
Yeah.
No, they haven't.
Yes, they have. Keenan Allen's back.
Chris, that Keenan Allen being out the lineup wasn't the damn difference. There's a clear correlation in their rushing numbers and the success of the offense. Chris, how are you going to ignore that?
All right, yeah.
You know
I'm not ignoring it.
To properly insulate a young quarterback.
I'm not ignoring it.
You are
ignoring every other element other than the one that's convenient to you.
It's not about it.
Linnell sits there and goes in the lab and goes,
Chris,
how
it's
can
not
I
about
push,
it being
how can
convenient
I push,
to me.
How can I come Anyone up with the one thing that I can put on a T-shirt? The one thing that I can put on a T-shirt and make a $5 bill
with. You need to get your damn Ray-Bans checked. They're foggy. Are you not watching, Chris?
Yeah, I'm watching.
If you have watched Bears football over the last 3 weeks,
I know what I'm
the
watching.
Major difference in what they are doing offensively is DeAndre Swift has become a major piece.
And it has nothing to do with the level of opponent or the comfortability of the quarterback seeing more things, practicing more, getting more game reps, getting everything, right? It has nothing to do with that, right? It has nothing to do with that. I just want to be clear.
I'm going to bang my head.
I mean, I just want to be clear.
Has nothing to do. I'm not saying it has nothing to do with the opponent. That is your rooster-driven narrative that you wanted to make up, saying that it has nothing. You said that, not me. I'm saying the main catalyst
you're
for
saying
Chicago's
the only thing that matters,
Chris. I called it the main catalyst, not the only thing. Listen to what I'm saying. The main catalyst for Chicago's turnaround offensively the last 3 weeks is DeAndre Swift. They have balance. Okay. They're not putting it all on Caleb Williams' plate.
Okay.
It's very clear anybody who watches.
Gotcha. All right, we got to take a timeout.
I'm taking the rest of the day off.
Please do. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. I'll do the show the rest of the way by myself. Thank you very much. I'm more than capable of doing it right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. The overall point, just in case you're just tuning in, that I was trying to make, the sane one, the calm one, the rational one, is that there are multiple reasons why teams' fortunes, good, bad, and change, right? And to Linnell's point, clearly the Chicago Bears, just because we got stuck on them and they're the opponent, so there's a little extra interest on my end in them. The Chicago Bears have clearly increased their emphasis, their will, their desire, their ability, their plan to run. There is no doubt about that. They have averaged in the last three games, or they have run for 131, 128, and 152 net rushing yards in their last three games. Their total rushing plays are 28, 39, and 29 in that three-game span.
Hmm.
But in their first three games, while they did not run for anywhere near the success level, 84, 71, and 63 per game, their run attempts were 22, 22, and 28. So in back-to-back games against Indianapolis, a pretty good defense, they ran the same exact time.
Indianapolis is god-awful defensively, Chris. Don't say they're a pretty good defense. They're statistically horrible. What are you saying right now, Chris? The Colts would give up the fourth most yards per damn contest, Chris. You can't say they're a good defense. Good gracious. He also threw two interceptions in that game. That's why they lost. He turned the football over.
So that's on him. So they're not a good defense just because their numbers skew one way after seven.
Chris,
games,
what
right?
about the Colts defensively has been good this year?
Zaire Franklin.
They gave up 37
they
points
have had
to
no,
the Jaguars.
They have had no running game. They have
Chris,
had no,
I don't care. Is it a good defense or not? I don't care about why they're not a good defense. Okay. They're not a good defense.
Right. Mr. Read your
it
context.
It is what it
clues.
Is.
I got
Chris,
you
can add context, but like in reality, on every level of that defense, there's not enough talent. They're not a good defense.
I don't care about the Indianapolis Colts. I was just pointing
you
out.
You care about the New York Giants.
I was pointing out that the Colts, okay, the Bears in their first three games ran the ball 22, 22, and 28 times. In their very next game, after running 28 times for 63 yards against a terrible, awful, dreadful Indianapolis defense, they ran the same amount of times for 131 yards. So all of a sudden, I'm to believe that, what's his name? Shane Waldron, who you loved during the offseason, had an epiphany and said, I need to run it 45 times.
Chris, you realize that their game against
Indianapolis
was unique in terms of the amount of offensive plays they ran.
Gotcha.
When the hell do you see a team throw it 52 times and run it 28 times?
Gotcha.
They ran, because Anthony Richardson stinks, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
They got extra possessions. They were able to run it more. When do you ever see that type of split run pass? How rare is that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I haven't had time to break that down. I'm sorry. I know you. I know you stay up until 4 a.m. in your analytics lab in mommy's basement. I got it. I understand that, but you know,
that's
I don't.
80.
Here's the bottom deal. Here's the bottom line deal. Okay, the Chicago Bears have flipped their season around, yes, largely because of their success running the football, not because Shane Waldron woke up and said, oh, after three games, God, I forgot we can run the ball. No, they're doing it because they're better at doing it. And yes, they are doing it slightly more or maybe moderately more, but it's not like they had an epiphany and just woke up and realized, oh, man, I hadn't run the ball in any of these three games, and now I'm going to start running, and that's the one and only reason.
It's not even just
the
about them running the football.
Why their offense is improved.
It's play action stuff. It's taking stuff off his plate, Chris. I get it. You know the ancillary benefits of running the damn ball.
And how we tie this back together is the Commanders on defense have been really good against bad teams, really poor against good teams, and the truth is somewhere in between.
So what does that make them defensively?
That makes them mediocre. That makes them average. That's what it makes them. And we'll find out more starting on Sunday against a pretty good offense. That's it. 158, Team 980 on the Team 980. I just said that. On the Team 980. He's got me so flustered. On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app coming back, we will get into the Washington Wizards, who tip it off tonight in their season opener against the world champion Boston Celtics. You can hear it right here on the Team 980 starting at 645.